on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each new day. We thank you for the opportunity during this Advent season to ponder, to reflect, to repent, and to hear once again your word of promise, your word of promise fulfilled, your word of hope, your word of Jesus. May He continue to be the heart, the core, the soul of our lives, and the reason why we celebrate with joy during this season. In His powerful and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 550.
Worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi, chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will stumble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes, He does not keep silence. Gather me, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by my sacrifice.
Thank you.
raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. They told him a parable. Look at the fig tree and olive trees. As soon as they come out and leave, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this is taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day come upon you suddenly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay alert at all times. Pray that you may understand and escape all these things that are going to take place, that you stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Said, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Reading the signs, God's Word is encouraging us to read the signs. And I think we're pretty darn good at it. When you belong to this kingdom, you know what it's like to be mocked and ridiculed and despised by others who belong to a different kingdom or to no kingdom at all. When you belong to this kingdom, you know what it's like to suffer, really suffer, pain and sorrow and anguish. And in the midst of your pain and sorrow and anguish, to have other people laugh and mock and celebrate. When you belong to this kingdom, you can read the signs. For years, we've been reading the signs, and the signs are telling us there is more grief and heartache and hardship and pain and suffering coming. But this all changed just a few weeks ago, because the signs began to change. When you belong to this kingdom, you are sensitive. You are sensitive to any change in the wind, any change in the sign. And you could see that change was coming. It was almost as if all the stars were aligning. The signs were there. And then, last week, the prophets began to give an advanced warning. All over the newspaper and radio, Facebook and Twitter, even ESPN. It's going to happen. And then, last Sunday, it became official. Reading the signs became easy because the fulfillment of prophecy was here. Savior of the Husker Nation, come! Scott Frost is here! You think I'm joking? You think this isn't a religion? Think of what the next 7 years will bring. Between a coach and 10 assistants, $70 million. When you add payoffs to former coaches and administration, when you add performance incentives, when you add all the maintenance and upkeep for the facilities and staff and personnel, well over $100 million. That's religion. That's passion. We know how to read the signs, don't we? Last Sunday, a large portion of the local newspaper was devoted to this religion. On Monday, after it had become official on Sunday, nearly the entire newspaper, not just the sports section, devoted to this religion. Last Sunday night, apparently there were no other news events happening in the entire world. Except maybe a little bit of weather. Oh yeah. We can read the signs. And we are very passionate. And the people who are outside of Husker Nation look at us and roll their eyes and think, "What in the world are you doing?" Now, time will tell whether this is a great investment in the future of Nebraska and Nebraska sports, or just more money poured down the drain. But there is a point here. God's Word is teaching us, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the same way that you can read the signs in every other aspect of your life, start reading the signs here and now with regard to God's Word and the second coming of Christ. You know what the problem is? The problem is, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have lost our passion. Oh no, we're still passionate about what we really love. Whether that be sports, or leisure, or work, or family. Some of those things are good and some of those things are indifferent. We know how to be passionate there. But when it comes to Christ and His Word and taking that Word seriously, we have completely lost our passion. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus promised that He was coming again in power and might and glory. Well, either Jesus didn't know what He was talking about, or Jesus is a liar, or, where most of us fall in, I got all the time in the world. It just doesn't matter. Jesus, here in Luke 21, in this end of the world discourse, offers to us a warning and a promise. The warning is very, very clear. I am coming back. I am coming back, and everybody will know it. It won't be some secret. I am coming back. And the things of this world that you cling to so tightly, they're all going to be gone. Heaven and earth will pass away, be destroyed. If you cling too tightly to the things of this world, if you put your fear, love, and trust into the things of this world rather than in the one thing needful, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that day will come upon you as a shock. That day will catch you off guard. That day will be a day of great fear. That day will drive you to your knees. But for all who read the signs, as easy to read as knowing that summer is just right around the corner when the trees go into leaf. Pretty simple, right? Even a preschooler gets that, right? God's Word teaches us that if we take His Word seriously, we'll be able to read the signs with regard to Christ and His Word. Oh, come on, Pastor. This sounds like a cheap B science fiction movie. The sun and the moon are going to be shaken and fall from the sky. Come on. Listen to these words once again from the beginning of our gospel reading. Luke 21, verse 25 and following. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? No. I'm not talking about a crazy sci-fi movie. These words sound familiar. They sound like a different part of the Bible. Listen to Matthew 27, beginning at verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Noon? Noon to three? Darkness over the whole world? How could that possibly be? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. That's normally where we stop reading the Good Friday account. Keep going. Verse 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and rocks were split open. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised back to life. And coming out of the tombs after the resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. The people saw the signs. They saw the signs that accompanied the brutal suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the signs, and the only conclusion they could come to was, this Jesus is who He claims to be. This Jesus is the Son of God. This Jesus is my redemption and salvation. My friends, God's Word teaches us to read the signs. This Jesus who has come into the world, wrapped in flesh and blood, carried in the tabernacle of Mary's womb, this Jesus was born for you. The fulfillment of prophecy. This Jesus, God in the flesh, lived a perfect life, died the death you and I deserve. This Jesus, suspended between heaven and earth on an old rugged cross, paid the penalty for sin, your sin, my sin, all sin for all time. Death could not hold the sinless Son of God. The greatest sign in the history of the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Read the sign. Jesus came. Jesus lived. Jesus rose. Jesus is for you. This is what God wants you to read and believe. We live in a sin-filled world. We are often beaten down by the realities and consequences of sin. Our own sin and the sin of others against us, and even the natural condition of sin in the world. The Apostle Paul tells us that all creation groans in expectation of the coming of the Son of God. As creation groans, we groan with it. My friends, do not grow lazy. Do not grow apathetic. Do not lose your passion. God's Word is real and true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. When you belong to this kingdom, when you belong to this kingdom, God's Word is with you and fills you and will teach you that when the signs are changing and there is all kinds of upheaval in the world, don't hunker down. Don't think only of yourself. Pick up your head. Be confident, because Christ, in His life, death, and resurrection, has overcome the world. He has overcome it for you. My friends, Jesus teaches us today how difficult it is to hold on to that passion and to not grow weary and apathetic. Jesus says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap." That day is coming. Jesus says so. "For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth." To us, Jesus says, "Cling to my word. Don't lose hope. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your faith." Yes, many times problems in this life will weigh down upon you. But remember, Christ has come. Christ is alive. Christ is coming again. Christ is really present right here and right now. "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Instead, watch and pray. Cling to the Word of God. And read the signs. Read the signs. God wants us to read the signs and realize that judgment day cometh, and right soon. Whether that is Jesus returning in power and might and glory at the end of the world, or when each one of us draws his or her last breath. Jesus says, "Be ready. Cling to my word. Know that you are my child, adopted in the waters of holy baptism, robed in my perfect righteousness." Pray that you would be ready and stay awake and alert. And in good times and in bad, through losing seasons or national championships or the bulk right square in between, remember that Christ has come to give us life and life to the full. He loves it when we enjoy life. But He also warns us, don't cling to the things of this world too tightly. Cling to me. Cling to my word. And know that in Christ, you are His child. Forgiven, free, confident, passionate, lift up your head. Christ has come. Christ is coming. Christ is here. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our passion, our faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we are bold to confess our faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified
suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In addition to the prayer request as listed in your news and notes, we also remember Tammy, daughter of Bob and Elaine Van Valkenburg, who is having surgery on Tuesday. We also remember the family of Leola Frankie, whose daughter-in-law Pat passed away this past week. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you are the God who comes. You came to your people of old in salvation again and again. And when the time had fully come, you came in the flesh, born of the Virgin, born under the law, to redeem we who are under the law. You entered the city of Jerusalem in humility to die for our sins, and now you enter this place in humility upon the means of salvation, the Word and the Holy Sacraments. Keep us in the true faith as we await your coming again in glory to raise us and all the dead and give eternal life to us and all believers in you. Lord, in your mercy, God of mercy, you cause your majestic voice to be heard. Your law is a hammer to our hearts, exposing our every misdeed. You know that we have failed to keep your commandments in every way. We do not deserve your mercies or any good things. Yet you sent your Son, our good shepherd, to take away the sin of the world. Restore us, O God, and let your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, the world is filled with sin and trouble. The devil, the world, and our own sinful nature try to deceive us and mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Guide us by your Spirit, that we may escape these things and remain firm in the faith. Keep watch over us and strengthen us, that our hearts may not be weighed down with the cares of this life. Grant that we may receive the outcome of our faith, the eternal salvation of our bodies and souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, your word has been sent forth into the world to the joy and edification of your holy people. Grant that your word may encourage, comfort, and strengthen all who hear it. Grant faith to those who do not know you, both here and abroad, that all peoples may sing to your name and extol your goodness. We pray for our confirmands, that as they will confess the faith this day, they would in boldness give answer on the day of their confirmation and every day after. By the power of the Holy Spirit, fill them with your word unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, Creator of all, many in our midst have been afflicted with pain, sickness, trials, and difficulties. Be merciful to those who have requested our prayers, that they may be granted health, strength to endure their afflictions, comfort in mourning, and release from their sufferings. Help us all to see that when Christ returns in glory, He will make all things new. Even our bodies will be incorruptible and immortal. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Dan, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who comes and who is coming would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Our offertory, page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks.
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
thou feast, then with great joy behold your King comes to you and your sins.
Amen.
Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Closing hymn, number 338. 338.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, who fulfilled prophecy when He came, who is really present with us right here and right now through Word and Sacrament, and who will come again. May He keep us safe in His arms, prayerful and watchful and always looking for the signs. Just a couple of announcements before we dismiss. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have Sunday school is really going to be in here today. Program practice in here today, and the program is Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. In the fellowship hall, we started a new Bible study last week, Justifying Christmas, and we'll continue that Bible study for the next several weeks, and especially today. Also in room 109, Vicar and our Catechism 2 students are going to be practicing and preparing. At the 10:30 service, we have part two of our questioning, so keep our junior confirmeds in your prayers as they continue to prepare and make a bold confession of faith on the Apostles' Creed at the 10:30 service. Coffee and goodies. Thanks to everybody who organized and participated in the Christmas caroling yesterday. It is always a great opportunity to bring a little joy to the nursing homes and our shut-in members. We had one of our shut-ins that about halfway through the first song started to cry and cried all the way through and wouldn't leave. We couldn't leave till we got a hug. And what a great, great blessing to be able to share that Christmas and Christian joy with our brothers and sisters in Christ who can't be here. Pastor.
Make that correction.
Correction made.
Correction made.
Vicar, would you like to say anything? Okay. I can say things about Scott Frost. You can't. Okay? There's a difference. All right. And lastly, if you haven't had an opportunity to fill out your estimate of giving card for 2016, there's a stack of them on the information center. The more that we get turned in, the better job we can do in our budget preparation. Envelopes for 2016 are on the table. I know many of you have picked those up already. If you can help us pass those out, that would be great. And I think that's all. Join us for goodies in the fellowship hall, study of God's Word, blessed Advent in Christ.